Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, Canada is being urged to uphold the human rights of its Indigenous women and girls, and a young woman from Chad makes the case for prioritizing peace and security in her region. But first, a new global initiative addressing youth unemployment also aims to ensure that young women don't lose out when it comes to finding work. That's the hope of the man who launched the UN plan, Guy Ryder, Director General of the International Labour Organization, the ILO. Mr. Ryder says the world needs to create more decent jobs, not just for the nearly 74 million unemployed youth worldwide, but also for those who have full-time work yet remain poor. Daniel Dickinson asked him how the initiative will specifically benefit young women.
Well, youth are disadvantaged on labour markets. Young women are even more disadvantaged. All of the evidence shows that the transition from school to work for women is much more difficult than for men. All of the evidence shows that women, where they are in labour markets, are often segregated into undervalued and precarious areas of work. So if we're able to make a difference across the board in this youth initiative, then clearly young women are going to benefit more than proportionately. That said, I think we have to tailor some of our activities to meet their specific needs as well.
How will you tailor your activities?
Well, I think this begins right at the beginning of the story in educational systems. It means making sure that women do have access to the sorts of opportunities that young men generally have. It means addressing all sorts of areas where women find that they are blocked in our societies. Education is one. Legislation, which simply does not guarantee them equal opportunities or equal reward for the work that they do, are others. Valuing unpaid care work is another area. There is a massive panoply of areas, but I think that we have to depart from the ambition that our task is not only to get young people into labour markets, we have to give equal opportunities to young women and young men across the board.
What emphasis are you putting on the quality of work and equal pay?
Yeah, this is about creating all of these millions of new jobs which are required, but this is not at the cost of quality. One of the alarming things that we can point to at the moment is that in addition to those young people, nearly 74 million who are out of work, many more are working, but they're still living in poverty. And the overall effect of all of that is that 40% of young people under 25 are either unemployed or working, but in poverty. So we simply have to lift the bar of quality above that poverty level. I don't think we're doing the job. Don't forget, we're trying to create decent jobs. We're not doing that job. If we have people working full-time, but nevertheless living in conditions of poverty, that is not getting the job done. So quality is clearly part of the job as well as quantity.
What can you tell a young woman who comes to you today and looks at your global initiative and says, that's not going to make any difference to me?
There are no miracles. I cannot talk to anybody and guarantee them that we're going to change their future. That's not the way things work. What we can say is that we are trying to marshal all of the capacities of the international system. We are trying to marshal the political will already expressed by national governments and make that difference. And that is the only honest answer that we can give. But it has to be accompanied by a real determination to make the difference.
Nearly 1,200 Indigenous women and girls have been murdered or gone missing in Canada over the past 30 years. UN and other international human rights experts are urging the country's authorities to address the root causes of violence and discrimination against these people. Leilani Farha, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Adequate Housing, was among the group of experts that met with senior Canadian officials tasked with setting up a national inquiry into these incidents. She told me about the dire situation of Indigenous women and girls in Canada and what next steps must be taken.
Indigenous women and girls are very precariously placed in society in Canada, such that they are subject to really gross acts of violence. There was a symposium over the weekend to discuss what a national inquiry into this deprivation of human rights might look like. And one of the women at the symposium said something to the effect, if you are born in Canada and you are an Aboriginal or Indigenous girl, you are born basically with a bullseye on your back.
Leilani, what's behind these disappearances and violence?
Well, I think it is deeply rooted in the history of colonialism in Canada and the discrimination and erasing of a people's. The Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women did an inquiry into this issue in Canada, and one of the most stark or alarming conclusions they reached is how entrenched and normalized discrimination against Indigenous women and girls is. And what comes with that kind of erasing of a people also is, of course, socioeconomic disadvantage. Canada has a highway of tears, and it's a highway in northern Canada where many, many women have gone missing. So they're leaving their towns, heading to bigger cities, hoping to be able to make a living and make ends meet. They're hitchhiking on this highway and then going missing and presumed murdered in some cases.
What are some of the recommendations that you shared with the authorities?
Yes, we were very fortunate to have what I would call a constructive meeting with three ministers. They were the ministers for justice, for Indian and Northern Affairs, and for the status of women. We were recommending, first and foremost, that the inquiry must be based in an understanding that what has happened and is happening to Indigenous women and girls is a failure of the implementation of human rights. In other words, if Indigenous women and girls' human rights had been upheld historically and with every governmental decision, every decision by the police, Canada would not be in the position that it's in now, and these women would not be in the position that they're in now.
Development in sub-Saharan Africa is not possible without first ensuring stability, according to a participant in the 2016 UN Youth Forum. Hindu Umaru Ibrahim of the Indigenous Women and People's Association of Chad has been at UN headquarters to discuss topics ranging from gender equality to poverty and hunger. She spoke to Janie Kangilosi about the importance of peace and security to the development of Chad.
We are talking about SDG and African youth. So that's the issue really we want to see clearly. Like, we end the MDGs and what the African youth done, how was the level of the involvement. So that's why at the SDG we really want to take the lead and see how we can achieve this goal and make it different than the MDGs, where we still have this issue of poverty, gender, health, and all the rest of the objectives.
So what do you think are the most important aspects of the SDGs to Chad?
I think the most important is, firstly, the peace and security. Because without peace and security, we cannot talk about the rest of the objective. Because it's development, and you cannot have the development without the stability of the country. So that's why, for us, it will be more important to set up all the politics at the same level that peace, security, with youth, with women, with all the stakeholders together. Then after that, we can talk about how we can achieve the food insecurity, we can create the job, getting to school, health, and the rest of the objective.
How receptive do you think the people of Chad will be to the SDGs and the changes that come with them?
I think it depends. They are not taking like all the objective at the same level. There is the most important for us, as I said, the security first. Then they said, okay, the reduction of the poverty for us is how to get access to the food first. Because when your stomach is empty, you cannot think about going to school. Then after that, how we can send the children to school and how we can get the health. And they can take and combine all the rest of the objective, but level by level. But hopefully, some of them can be combined at the same time, like health and food. And we can take also education in the job creations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Deanne Penn.